Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. I hope you're very well. You're listening to Autistic Voices on UK Health Radio. I'm Evelyn Charmer. I'm a paediatric therapist and I'm the director of Ed Elf Child Therapy Limited and its sister training company for therapists, the Child Hypnotherapy Institute. And I've recently been diagnosed autistic myself. So I'm very inspired to bring you a diverse and rich range of autistic voices from the community. People who are diagnosed, people who are not diagnosed, people who work alongside and collaborate with autistic families or autistic adults, people who identify as neurodivergent. Please come and join the conversation. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at Evelyn, that's EvaLynne, at childhypnotherapyinstitute.com, or contact me via the show. Thank you for joining me with Autistic Voices on UK Health Radio. Hello, welcome listeners. You're listening to Evelyn Charmer on Autistic Voices on UK Health Radio. And my guest of the week is a wonderful soul. I'm very blessed to have met her. Her name's Juliana Wheater, and she's got a website, which is therapiesforspecialneeds.co.uk. And she can tell you all about her wonderful work a bit later on. But I just want to say welcome. Welcome to the show, Juliana.
Oh, thank you very much. And just to say, I am equally blessed, massively blessed to have met you. I really, really am.
Oh, thank you. We feel like we've got a bit of a soul connection, don't we?
We do.
So it's just wonderful. So thank you for coming on the show. It's just an absolute pleasure to have you here. And as I said to you earlier, I always start the show with gratitude. I think being in a place of gratitude is a really positive mindset. And I just want to say I'm really grateful today, although it's raining and I won't be using it today, for what's called a hangout pod. I bought it a couple of months ago. It's like a great big sort of hammock. That's a round, big round hammock. It's very sturdy. You can get up to four people in it if you want to. And it hangs on a tripod in my garden. So it's just it's about a foot or so off the ground. And at the end of each day, or even sometimes just to take a break during work or whatever, I can go and get in my hangout pod. And as soon as I get in it and I'm looking at the sky and it's just a gentle kind of movement, I just feel so calm. So I'm putting out my gratitude to Hangout Pod for designing them in the first place. Thank you very much. So what about you, Juliana? What are you grateful for today?
I'm really grateful you told me about the Hangout Pod because I've got one.
Have you got one?
And I live near the beach. So I actually put it in my car and took it to the beach the other day. And I was just there, you know, looking at the stars. It was beautiful. My kids in with me as well.
So is that from our last chat that you went and got one? Oh, amazing.
I went and got one because it just sat. And I know my rainbow kids will absolutely love it. They really, really will. So in terms of what I'm grateful for, I'm actually really, really, really grateful for my life. Mm-hmm. It's had many, many wonky and extraordinary curves, but I don't think I was ever born to be inside the line. So I'm grateful for the curves. They've given me my life. Well, actually, I'm grateful for what I did with those life cards. And I'm massively grateful for my biological children and the thousands of children whose lives I've been in over 15 or more years now. So yes, I'm grateful for loads of stuff. I could go on and on.
Oh, it's so positive to hear. So you mentioned Rainbow Kids. So let's start with that. So can you explain to listeners what Rainbow Kids is all about?
Rainbow Kids Touch Therapy and Relaxation is something I set up about 11 years ago. And what I wanted to do, because I really come from a very, very inclusive, positive growth mindset base where It doesn't matter what your label is, what your disability, what your different ability, however you're comfortable to call it, neurodiversity, neurodivergence. It was about bringing kids together, also neurotypical kids, because we've all got something to learn from each other. And in these groups, nobody knows who's got ADHD, nobody knows who's got autism. They just help each other where they need to, and that goes both ways. And they also discover their strengths and their gifts. And we do that by exploring lots and lots of therapies, but they never know I'm a therapist. I think I said to you last time when we spoke, my best compliment in the whole of last year was there was an adopted little girl I'd been working with for 9 months, and we were actually having a one-on-one session, and she said to me at the end of it two things that made my day actually. She said, Juliana, when you grow up, I think you'd make a really good therapist.
Oh,
That's
brilliant.
Juliana. There's no autism community, there's no ADH community. We are global community, and it's getting behind those labels and being a team, but also building up our own strengths and easing our own challenges, me included. You know, I'm on a total level with them. So in a nutshell, that's what it's about, and that's why I called it Rainbow Kids, because everybody's welcome.
Oh, I love that. I love that global, we're a global community idea. And so, I'm assuming a lot of your Rainbow Kids kind of groups are face to face
Oh
in
yes, they're in.
person.
Most of them are actually with me. I've got the most beautiful therapy chalet, which actually used to be a tea room, a really big tea room, and it was a condemned building when I moved to Exmoor 15 years ago. And bit by bit, I did it up, and it's their place. I just feel it's a community place on so many levels, and it's got little silver birch trees in it with LED lights, which are seasonal because I love to bring nature into it. And it's just a place of magic. And it's been, I mean, years later, I've got my initial rainbow kids, you know, having their kids and bringing them to me because it was such an icon in their childhood, which, you know, I mean, how blessed am I that they stayed in touch and still come.
Oh, that, well, it says a lot about the place and about you and how much they feel a part of it, as their
Do.
identity. And I think that's something you've created there, Juliana. Sounds wonderful.
It,
But
it's very led by them.
sorry, say that again.
I said it's very led by them. Everything,
Yeah,
everything.
so that's why they keep coming back, isn't it? Because they
Yeah.
feel that it's theirs.
Yeah, they do. And it
Yeah.
is theirs, and they all know where I leave the key. So, you know, it's like you know that story when you're little, the never ending porridge pot or whatever it was called. It's like the never ending pasta pot. I never know who I'm going to come home to. It's very often someone. And I love that, you know.
Oh, so if you're a parent or carer out there listening and you live in the Exmoor area and you have a child who you think might benefit from one of Juliana's Rainbow Kids kind of groups and workshops or anything like that, how might they get in touch with you to have a chat about it?
I can also offer them via Zoom, believe it or not.
Okay.
You know, one-to-one Zoom sessions, or, you know, whatever people want. There's about 9 or 10 different therapies I do now, and I blend them all in. So I can offer them one-to-one Zoom groups, you know, whatever. But the best way to get in touch with me, it's a really long email, but once you've got it, you've got it. It's info at therapiesforspecialneeds.co.uk. And the four is spelt like the word, it's not a number. So info at therapiesforspecialneeds.co.uk. There's a ton of stuff on there. You can imagine.
I can imagine. Okay, so let's just segue into I know that you're a parent of neurodivergent children, as you've mentioned your children already, and you grew up neurodivergent yourself, but you were unaware of
Yes,
that.
completely unaware.
Yeah, so tell listeners about your story of how you discovered your neurodivergence and when.
I just always knew that I wasn't inside the lines. And I mean, autism, ADHD back then, just that wasn't recognized. And I'm convinced I've got quadruple ADHD. I mean, I don't want to put my personality into boxes because I'm just me, but you know, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all. But I used to see one of the main things was that I used to see people, feelings, atmospheres as colors. that were always changing. And I thought everybody could do that. You know, so for instance, you know, my mum kind of got the hang of it. So she'd say to me when I came out of school, for instance, she'd say to me, because yellow is like the ultimate in joy and happiness. It's just the best color ever. So she'd say to me, "Did you have a yellow day at school today?" So I would describe things in color. And it's really interesting because three of my four children do the same.
Oh,
It
wow.
it's extraordinary. And equally, you know, I remember when my son Ollie was growing up, he'd say to me, "Mummy, why is it that sometimes people's colors don't match what they're saying?"
Oh, gosh, how wonderful. I'd love to be able to do
There's
that.
a real, it's a
Yeah.
blessing and a curse at times, but you know, but acute sense of smell, massively creative, massively creative. I really, really was. And but then again, you know, I think maybe that's personality too, you know, because behind every label, if you like, that there's a unique human being, isn't there?
Yes.
So I always just think I'm just Juliana, the same as my children are just James, Ollie, Kiara, and Charles, and that's how I see my rainbow kids, you know. But I definitely knew I was different. The other thing I used to do was invent loads of different languages. So people at my school would say, "Oh, speak to me in," I don't know, there was roundy language. There were all these different languages just off the top of my head. And I would come out with it, and they'd be quite intricate. So my mum used to say it sounded like they had verb endings and things like that. But obviously it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a thing then. So I think I was just quirky, but luckily I had such a good sense of humor. I think I got by on that.
Yes.
Thing. A lot of the kids I work with, my own children, myself, we it's like we have a different part of the brain working, an amazing part of the brain, incidentally. And I think it's no coincidence that there, I mean, there's been a 728% rise in autism, particularly among women, in the last 20 years. That's massive. And there's a reason for that. And, you know, if you look at history, I mean, I did a history degree. If you look back through history, the people who have really, I'm not saying all of them, but a massive percentage of people who have shaped our world, you know, come up with the most, you know, the entrepreneurs, the artists, the musicians, the sports people, the IT people, the gaming people, you know, so many of them have been neurodivergent. And I think there is a reason there are so many of us knocking about right now. I just think we've got stuff to do.
We've got stuff to do. And also, you know, it's been recognized a lot more. So, you know, there's probably always in history been people, I think there's about 20% of the population that they know of at the moment who are neurodivergent. And I'm wondering if that's maybe always been the case. And I want to just go back to what you're saying about kind of seeing colors and auras as colors and things like that. And what your son said about, you know, why do someone's colors doesn't always match what they're saying. And I guess we or everybody, neurotypical, neurodivergent, or whatever, picks up on body language and congruence. And I think there's something about, I've worked with a lot of autistic children that really have get really, really bothered by people who don't seem to be congruent. So what they're saying doesn't match their face or
I
doesn't
get
match
that part.
their body language. And I guess it's the same. We're reading people all the time, whether that's through color, movement, body language, all of those unspoken, non-verbal cues.
There's a little
So
boy I work with, and he sees electrical currents, like electrical currents coming from people's mouths. So he knows when they're not telling the truth, and it really upsets him.
yes.
So he can see when things don't match.
That's it. And people get very cross. I say people. I can take responsibility for myself and say when things don't ma match in the right the way that they I think they should, then I get really it's more anxiety, you know,
Yes,
and it makes
massive.
me feel weird.
Yes.
But I agree with you. I think we were talking earlier, and maybe we should go into this as well about neural pathways. You know, the brain
Oh my
is
gosh,
we don't
yes.
we only know so much about it. And in my view, being neurodivergent means having. It's about having additional perceptions. And perception is all about how your brain processes information that's out there. And what I
Absolutely.
do know, and I was taught is that a baby is born with their kind of what's called a mind valve. It's been termed a mind valve, wide open. And that mind valve, if you imagine it, allowing information in. And so
Yes.
when a baby's born, their eyes are huge, their pupils are huge, and they're just up, you know, absorbing everything. And they're going from being kind of an unconscious being in the womb, being part of all there is, to becoming a conscious being, getting deep now.
Yeah.
But that mind valve closes very quickly,
Yes.
in order for that baby to survive. So they
Yes.
filter out everything they don't need for survival. So they will know their mother's smell, and they might filter out other women around them,
Yeah.
smell, things like that. And that the mind valve closes, 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 closes over the first couple of years of our lives, until we've got it to a certain point where we've got the amount of information in our brains that we need in order to proceed and survive. And I find that fascinating.
The really interesting thing is, in all of my training with autism, which has mainly been from neurotypical people, which I've always found quite odd, they have always, and even my massage training, there's even a point on the head that you can massage to help stimulate eye contact. And you know, even though I teach massage for SEN, autism, ADHD, I never ever share that point because I completely disagree with it. It would be like making a neurotypical person watch every single Sky Channel all at once and pay attention. They're looking at other, way more important stuff and feeling it. If they're not seeing it, they're feeling it. So I don't believe that autistic children should be forced to make eye contact.
And the word is forced, isn't it? And I think anything that's about modifying behavior, and behavior can be anything from looking at something, having eye contact, to, you know, throwing a chair across the room. I'm talking about all the realms of behavior. If you're
Yeah.
forcing somebody into a behavior or out of a behavior and modifying that, I think that can be really damaging in lots of ways.
You know, I had periods growing up where I felt really sad, really like, you know, I was weird. Loneliness, even in a crowd, you know, my humor got me through it and I could mask like a lot of girls do. But, you know, it's just that. You know, it's like by the age of seven, we've filtered out so much, haven't we? And
Yes.
that is to be that square peg in that rat. We're trying to
We're trying to
fit.
fit. Well, listen, let's have a little break for some music and the ads, and then we'll continue this conversation after the
Lovely.
break.
True colors, your true colors.
Christmas makes you crazy. You take in all you can, then you call me up, because you know I'll be there, and I'll see your true colors shining through. I'll see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid, just let it show.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer. Part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hello, welcome back, listeners. You're listening to Evelyn Charmer on Autistic Voices, and my guest of the week is Juliana Wheater. So I just wanted to talk to you about neural pathways.
Before I did my training in neuro, so I used to think, and this is very ignorant of me, but I honestly used to think that the brain built the mind. And when I did my neuroscientific training, it's actually the exact opposite. And our brains, although they're very complex, I'm sure you know this, they absorb information very literally, you know, through images. And if you take a child, for instance, in a normal situation, they only need to get the same message 20 times for the little dendrites on the end of the neural pathways to glue together and form that message. So if you take anything at all away from this interview today, take this, that what we tell our children is what they become. And when a child is in a relaxed state, which they are, you know, when they're with me, when they're doing, you know, when they're not trying to survive, it only takes 4 to 6 times for that message to form that neurological pathway. So even though a lot of my what I do is play based and it's very therapeutic, it's very relaxed, I'm going right in on those neurological pathways. Now, if you think, and this is a really scary statistic, and I don't mean to be gloomy, but right now as we're speaking, our government still call things like pathological demand avoidance, ADD, ADHD, high functioning, all these labels, I hate it, autism, where, you know, the cognitive intelligence is very high, but they might not necessarily be able to read body language or read and process faces. You know, the government still calls those types of neurodivergences conduct disorders. which I think is horrific. So if you think, if there's a child who, you know, has got absolutely nobody who's realizing what they're going through, they might have a horrible home life. Who knows? We're all going through so much. COVID has changed so much for so many. But if ADHD, if I had a pound or even a penny for every time a teacher has said to me, oh, here's so-and-so, they're a behavioral. And actually they've got ADHD, which they're just unsupported, and their behavior is a communication of that fear, of that lack of support. You know, in our emotional brain, also known as the fear center, most of our emotional and behavioral responses are laid down before the age of 7. So when people say to somebody, oh, pull yourself together, you're behaving like a child, that's actually a trigger for them, because that filter and interpretation part of the emotional brain has gone because of the trauma that was put there when they were growing up, being told to get out, get into IE, being restrained, being marched like a prisoner into a different room. You know, would you seriously go up to somebody in a wheelchair and go, right, you, get out into IE. You're refusing it. You're willfully refusing to sprint the 100, you know, the 1500 meters, or zoom up to a blind person and go, right, you, detention. You're not reading a book that's not in Braille. That means you're naughty. You just wouldn't do it, would you? You know, and it's our language around that. You know, even when the kids do have a diagnosis, which is hard enough to get at the moment, you know, 3 to 5 year waiting lists. When they do get it, look at our language. Oh, it's a disorder. It's a deficit. You know, it's all these messages of, you're a bit subnormal, really, aren't you? You know, you're a little bit naughty. You're a little bit, you know, you're not quite like the rest of us. And again, as I'm sitting here speaking to you, just in one UK prison alone, Cardiff Prison, over a third of the prisoners, 33% of them, have ADHD or have had late diagnoses of ADHD. And I'm not saying for 1 minute people with ADHD can't be naughty. Go for it. It's wonderful to be naughty sometimes. But, you know, they've had these messages drummed into them. It's why brainwashing works. It's why people in abusive relationships don't leave, because they get these messages all the time. And it's very disempowering and very negative. And it actually pre-COVID, sorry about all these statistics, I told you I'm a nerd.
I think it's good, because the listeners out there won't have, not necessarily everyone will have this sort of information. So I think it's really good to have the stats and the data.
Yes, because people do want to know, well, where have you got this from? Well, I actually got it from government websites and on my trainings. But, you know, pre-COVID, neurodivergent children was 2 to 6 times more likely to pick up a mental health issue, get into substance abuse, get into gangs, because of these messages of, you don't belong, you're excluded, you know, feeling weird, feeling different, wondering where you are. You know, don't forget, neurodivergent kids become neurodivergent adults. We still have puberty going on, all those hormones raging around. You know, when we're getting these really negative messages that you have a deficit, a disorder, a conduct disorder, you're naughty. You know, I've had kids in school come up to me and say, do you know what, Juliana, I'm the naughty one. And I make them explain to me why. You know, and the relief when I say to a child with ADHD, well, actually, you're not naughty. You are misunderstood. You are deficient in dopamine, which is the hormone of attention, focus, motivation, drive, that feeling of reward. You know, you're deficient in that. Give them something they're interested in, and there's this amazing hyper-focus. So we need to focus a lot more on the positives that neurodivergence brings, and not just the can'ts. We've got to turn that impossible into I'm possible. That's what we have to do, and tell these kids that they are, because it's much easier to build up a child than it is to repair a broken adult. And I'm tired of picking up the pieces of broken children. They didn't need to be broken. They just need to be understood and have the right support in an inclusive way that would actually benefit the whole classroom. I'll just say one more thing really quickly, because I do have a problem of talking a lot. What I used to do with my second son, who's autistic, I used to look at his challenges, and I'd go into the school on the inset day in August and get every single teacher who was ever going to come into contact with Ollie. I'd give them a postcard size photograph of Ollie so that if a supply teacher came in, they'd have that instantly in the register all the time. And I'd have what his strengths were, so they knew what to play on. Like, for instance, I don't know, he struggled with maths. So I'd say, if you make maths about counting Lego, and then we had a dinosaur phase, you know, that's going to engage loads of kids. Ollie could never break down multiple instructions. So I'd say, if you put them in bullet points on a whiteboard, that's going to help kids with dyslexia, who very often have poor short-term memory. Or even a neurotypical child who's having a really rough time at home, hasn't slept all night, has got, you know, terrible mental health challenges. It includes everybody. Yeah. You're not saying, oh, by the way, this is for the autistic boy in the corner. You know, we need to be a lot more inclusive and a lot more positive in our language, because that is forming the adult that each of those children is going to become. It's like Daniel Goleman said, children are wet cement and we shape them. That's a huge responsibility, huge. And every single person has gifts to be brought on and to be valued, which I appreciate is very difficult in mainstream. You can get a word in now if you like. Sorry.
Well, it's not about me. It's about you. And I'm listening to you thinking, this is amazing. And how am I going to cut this interview into one show, really? So you're welcome to come on again. I always say that to
my... I'd love to. I don't know how your listeners would feel about that.
But what you're saying is really important. And I think there'll be a lot of people out there who either have a child or children who are neurodivergent, or maybe work in a school or a setting, are really interested in it as a subject for some reason, whether they're neurotypical or neurodivergent themselves. And I think what you're saying is really rings bells with me. And that's why at the top of the show, I've only met you once. I always meet my guests for about half an hour on Zoom before we interview. And that's the only time we've met, just so people out there know, we haven't even physically met, have we? In
person? No, but we will.
But because of the way you see this, and it totally resonates with me too. And I'm the same. I work as a therapist with broken children who didn't need to have been broken, and it makes me cross.
Yeah.
But what I think, you know, what's happening is, as a child's growing and they're seeing, they're developing their sense of identity. So it's who I feel I am inside and how that's accepted on the outside. And that is about building identity. And when that is damaged by the outside saying, no, don't do that, can't do this, that's wrong, you're bad, you're different, you don't fit in with us, you're not the same, you're wrong,
you'll never achieve.
Yeah, what that does is then it massively, that concrete never sets right, it always sets wrong. And also it causes suppression, and suppression of self, and having to hide and mask and keep things down and hold it in. And a lot of parents will tell me, you know, when their child gets home from school or any setting, even if it's a really good, positive setting, they've still had to hold in and mask and cover and suppress. And they have massive meltdowns, outbursts, or they just go into a place. Yeah, where, or they might go into a place of being really in and not being able to communicate with anyone for quite some time. And that's the outcome of suppressing somebody also impacting on their self of identity.
I'm not being funny, Evelyn, but, you know, and this is totally right and it's fantastic. If you had children in wheelchairs and you didn't provide a wheelchair ramp, there would be uproar, and absolutely rightly so. So why are we not having this understanding from government level down about invisible challenges, invisible differences? Our kids are not naughty, you know. In actual fact, a lot of autistic kids and kids with ADHD have a higher than average intelligence. So far from never being able to achieve in the right setting, they would be an absolutely massive asset going forwards into employment. I mean, there's only 16% of autistic adults right now are in paid employment. And yet I hate this term high functioning. I really don't agree with it, but unfortunately, it's what we use, isn't it? That it's proven they have a higher IQ than average. You know, kids with autism, ADHD, they've got that massive ability when they're passionate, they're dedicated, honest, they've got the ability to hyper focus, stamina to see a job through to the end, perfectionism. You know, I mean, that is a massive asset to the working world. What are we doing? What are we missing out on? And this is because at government level, we've got it wrong. And the teachers are being trained to think this is behavioural conduct disorders because it's all there on government websites. Anybody can Google it right now. It's all there. If you go on a government website, it's a conduct disorder. And yet they are so clever and have, and with the right support, once those issues and challenges are eased, you know, they have so much to bring to the table. And neurotypical and neurodivergent people can learn from each other alike. You know, nobody should be excluded.
Do you know what? As well, I'm finding through doing this show that there's an awful lot of really good work going on in that direction, Juliana. So it's really quite encouraging. I was talking to a lady, she's coming on the show in a couple of weeks, but I've done her interview. Her name's Willow Holloway. Hi, Willow, if you're listening, in Wales, who does an enormous amount of work for campaigning about policy and getting policy changed and advocating for that. I've talked to Simon Preston, who is building up great work around neurodiversity in the workplace and has been doing his MA in that and working with employers to work together with their neurotypical and neurodivergent staff to bring the best strengths out in everybody and benefit everyone and the organisation. I think the government probably need an overhaul of this, and I'm sure that there's enough work going on out there now. I'm hearing all the time of more blogs, more podcasts, more. I think COVID has really brought people to a place of saying, do you know what, I need to be able to reach people in a different way and getting out into the world, including myself, because I haven't done radio, you know, a talk radio show like this before COVID myself. So I can really see that things will change. They are changing slowly.
Coming together. Our voices are coming together.
Yeah.
You know, when I was raising my son, who's now 25, you know, the isolation surrounding any sort of neurodivergent it impacted the family. And it was awful that the support that was out there used to make me cry because it was just the them and us situation. I'd set up my own stuff. It's why I do all this prolific blogging, articles, public speaking now. I just never stop. My average day is 18, 19 hours. But now, instead of feeling like a lone voice in the dark, I'm meeting these fantastic souls like all of you. And it's so important because we do need to get together. We need to make this a roar to bring that change. Yeah. And we really do. You know, it's so important and it's so lovely. And that has come through COVID, you know.
Pre-COVID, I was working in a special needs school with autistic young people. I hadn't been diagnosed myself yet. I wasn't aware that I was autistic myself. And it all started to kind of point in that direction for me. But let's just break for some music. And then after the break, I want you to talk to our listeners about the Autism Hero Awards, which I know you've been a part of.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. was called yellow. So then I took my turn. Oh, what a thing to have done. And it was all yellow.
That makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer. Part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hello, welcome back. You're listening to our guest of the week, Juliana Wheater, on Autistic Voices with Evelyn Charmer. So we're going to just talk a bit about the Autism Hero Awards. Can you tell listeners what that is? And yeah, your involvement in that, because I believe you won an award.
I did. Well, the children all won the award, really. I just look after it. But yes, I'm the wellbeing ambassador for the international charity, autism charity, Anna Kennedy Online. She's a wonderful lady. She does so much to grow people's gifts, to bring them on, to give advice to families, teachers, individuals. And, you know, I've been offered things with other charities before, but I like to give my all to something. And Anna's charity just has that integrity and that heart, and people just working. They're all autism heroes. They really, really are. But it was funny because I was really busy advertising that on all my social media platforms, not having any idea whatsoever that I was even in the running for it. It just didn't even occur to me that I would be. I'm just busy doing my thing, you know. And I went along, you know, obviously, you know, it's the charity that I work for. So I went along and I wanted to support it. And I won an Autism Hero Award.
Oh, I saw the photos. Yes, you look so humble. And I think it is very humble of you to say you did. And I know you mean it. You wouldn't have even considered that you were in the running for that. And I think that's another lovely thing about you, Juliana. You know, you're just so heart-centered.
When you come and visit me in my therapy chalet in my home, you'll see on the walls, I haven't got one single diploma, degree, nothing. None of that is framed up. It's in a box for parents, teachers, whoever to see, obviously, you know, but it's away. All I have on the wall are awards that I consider the children have won. Yeah. Because I mean this. Out of all my training, they have been and are my biggest teachers. And I learn all the time. I adapt what I do all the time to meet them where they are. And I'm so, so blessed. So when I won it, I actually showed them when they all came in. I was saying, look what you've won. I said, I've got to look after it here. But I do remember on my acceptance speech, because I didn't have a clue what to say, you know, I was being called on the stage and I was going, do I need to go up there? And I was going, yes, you know. So I went up there, and the only thing I can remember saying, really, and I mean it, I really was from the heart, is that I would walk to the moon and back for any child. And I would. And, you know, if I make a difference to one child in my lifetime, I've left my footprints behind. And that's what it's all about for me.
Yeah, so you and me the same. It's not about ego.
No way.
Yeah, it's all about them and their futures, and then their children and their children's children.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really sorry to say that we've come to the end of the show, because I could and will off air listen to you and talk to you for hours, I'm sure. And I will definitely be coming down to Exmouth to yes! see this place and meet you. Yes. But can I just say thank you for all of your wonderful insights and for all the amazing work you do in the world and for coming on the show.
And thank you for everything you do. It's been lovely to join our voices together this morning for the benefit of so many out there. I really hope we've touched a few lives.
Yes, I'm sure we have. And just for listeners to have a look at the website, it's therapiesforspecialneeds.co.uk. And do check that out.
Okay. And I've got all the widgets to that, because I've got a totally free YouTube channel, and I'm not plugging anything because I don't make any money from that whatsoever. I write weekly for Anna Kennedy every week, every Monday. I've got a free YouTube channel, a big public Facebook group where I post advice, daily therapies. All of this is free. None of it is monetized. It's just to keep us all together as we go through these extraordinary times, you know, which are especially difficult for some of our kids. So that wasn't a plug, by the way, because
oh, a plug's fine. A plug's fine as well. But thank you. So do check those things out, listeners. And thanks again, Juliana, for coming
thank
on the
you,
show.
Thank you, Evelyn. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you for listening. I'm Evelyn Sharma. This is Autistic Voices on UK Health Radio. And special thanks to our guest of the week.